The Public News Service Daily Newscast, January the 5th, 2021. I'm Mike Clifford. Members of the Chicago Teachers Union are refusing to follow the Chicago Public School System's order for pre-kindergarten and certain special education teachers to come into school in person this week with their students to follow next week.
Citing a new surge of COVID-19 cases and concerns that more are on the way following the New Year's holiday, many teachers stayed home or worked outside their schools in the cold yesterday and plan to continue teaching online until buildings are safe for them and their students. Sadlowski Elementary School music teacher Quentin Washington is one of them.
They're asking us to step into the buildings unprepared, ill-equipped, no testing mandates. And it's just not fair to our students. It's not fair to our school communities.
Members say the fear of losing their jobs is real, and many teachers in Chicago public schools are the sole or primary income earners in their households. But they say the fear of the coronavirus for their students and families is greater. I'm Lily Bulkey.
The teachers union says this is not a strike. Members plan to continue teaching virtually and communicate with their students, families, and colleagues. More than 30 aldermen on the Chicago City Council signed a letter amplifying these safety and equity concerns. Many conservative U.S. House Republicans defended President Donald Trump in the aftermath of his phone call demanding the Georgia Secretary of State, Brad Raffensperger, find the votes needed for him to win the elections in his state. CNN reports at the same time Democrats drafted a resolution seeking to censure Trump over the matter. The network notes that after House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy downplayed Trump's stunning demand, other Republicans rushed to his defense. Some refused to take issue with the president's actions. And as President-elect Joe Biden considers his pick for Labor Secretary, unions in Colorado and across the U.S. are eager to see the Trump administration in the rearview mirror.
Dan Maurer with the Communications Workers of America says President Donald Trump's National Labor Relations Board used every tool at its disposal to stop workers from organizing by making it easier for companies to delay elections and, in some cases, taking workers' right to organize away altogether.
That's why it's all the more important that President-elect Biden take a lot of steps to reverse some of those trends, because otherwise workers are going to continue to lose power, and that means losing wages, losing benefits.
Biden has committed to passing the Protecting the Right to Organize Act, along with measures to incentivize workers classified as independent contractors to gain union protections. But Maurer says Tuesday's runoff election in Georgia, which will determine control of the U.S. Senate, is critical because the new administration will not be able to reverse all of Trump's policies through executive orders. I'm Eric Galatas.
This is PMS. The state of North Dakota has long dealt with a shortage of access to mental health care in rural areas, but efforts are ramping up now to make sure treatment is available in those hard-to-reach places.
The University of North Dakota and Sanford Health are carving out a multi-phase project. It's designed to provide more resources at a time when more people are feeling stressed because of the pandemic. Andrew McLean chairs the psychiatry department at the UND Medical School. He says early efforts included a web page with helpful tips along with phone assessments. He says future phases could involve a more robust way of ensuring that patients can visit with a provider virtually, potentially closing gaps in some areas.
As you go into the western part of the state, you know, whether it's mental health providers or whether it's addiction counselors, there's a particular issue in terms of finding providers there.
But McLean warns there are still a lot of unknowns surrounding the next phases. He says that includes whether insurance companies would still allow exemptions for virtual visits, as they are right now during the crisis. I'm Mike Moen.
North Dakota's mental health care needs became more pronounced when the state saw a 57% increase in suicides between 1999 and 2016, which topped the nation. And there's new evidence that many Georgia families are coping with severe hardships during this pandemic. Georgia Kids Count manager Rebecca Rice says it's clear that too many families are having trouble meeting basic needs for their kids.
We're really seeing this as a potential trauma for an entire generation of children, and that can have lifelong effects. And I think we're going to need both physical and emotional and mental support for this generation of children for a long time.
The report we've been spotlighting from the Annie Casey Foundation finds 20% of Georgia households with children are concerned about making their rent or mortgage payments. Meantime, Clay Wirestone with the group Kansas Action for Children says the stresses on families are system-wide.
among families with children. 15% of them are food insecure. 16% of them are wondering if they will have a place to live.
And finally, our Suzanne Potter tells us groups that fight for healthier oceans are vowing to fight on after President Trump vetoed a bill to ban an outdated type of fishing net. It targets swordfish, but ends up killing many other species.
The bipartisan Drift Net Modernization and Bycatch Reduction Act would have ended the use of mile-long, large-mesh drift gill nets within 5 years. Ben Enticknap with Oceana says the nets are nearly invisible and produce a huge, unintended bycatch.
The coast of California is a migratory hotspot for whales, turtles, and dolphins. They can't see these walls of death and ultimately suffocate and drown.
I'm Suzanne Potter.
This is Mike Clifford for Public News Service. Member and listener supported, heard on great radio stations across the nation and online at publicnewsservice.org.